This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
And this is the Spring On Air fundraiser, a time when we take a few minutes out of all the different shows that you enjoy here at KUAF to remind you that we are a listener-supported station, and it is because of listeners making contributions every year that we are able to stay on the air. And if you have not yet done so, we are nearing the end of our fundraiser, and you can make a contribution right now at supportkuaf.com.
Very simple. Takes no more than 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And what your support does is it doesn't just keep us on the air. It does that. Don't misunderstand us. That's how we stay on the air. But it has also allowed KUAF over the last 27 plus years to grow, including things we can do with the web now.
Sure.
Used to be that people would miss something on Ozarks Alert, especially when we were on the weekends only.
Right.
And I would get emails, hey, I would like to get a copy of that or something. And I just didn't have time.
Mm-hmm.
Now we archive everything on web.
Mm-hmm.
So you can always hear. And now, right now on the web, you can also stream the new Three Penny Acre CD.
Right. And it hasn't even been officially released yet.
Right. So your chance to hear it.
A first listen, if you will.
A first listen. It's at KUAF.com. Mm-hmm. You'll see there on the front page. Should tell you that they are going to have that CD release party Sunday night at George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the new CD is Rag and Bone.
Mm-hmm.
And last week, the three members, Baird, Bernice, and Brian, all came to the Furman Garden Performance Studio, and I talked to them there, asked them about the process of putting together a CD.
I think it just is because we handle all steps of the process. So it's starting to think about how and when we're going to do what we're going to do. And maybe it just starts with, at that time, we have three songs that we think work. And we know over the next, 18 months, 2 years, we're going to add to those. And it's a long process from the first thought to the recorded finished project.
Was one of the first three songs Slim Was a Teamster? Because
yes.
I've heard that one live for a while. Mm-hmm.
I think that was probably the first tune that we had in the shoot that didn't make it on Highway 71 that had been kind of floating around for a while. Yeah.
It's about your grandfather?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was named Slim?
His name was Clem Thales Rader. And so everyone, he was 6 foot. He was over 6 foot six, but everyone called him Slim.
And he was a Teamster?
He was a Teamster. Yeah, He went to work for Safeway as a Teamster just right after World War II.
I can hear those steel wheels turn in the darkness at night, carrying you down the highway to the flicker of a high beam light. Statue of your soul. There's a diesel engine burning to the hum of rock and roll.
He was an influential figure in my life and taught me a lot about music and told great stories about his upbringing.
When you're collaborating, working on a song, and maybe it's something about someone or an incident that long ago, you can't just sit down and say, I'm writing about my grandfather, can you? It's got to organically.
I mean, specifically, I think it's really hard to do and somewhat tricky to do. Like, maybe you shouldn't do it. But for me, it started with a long time ago. Like, I just collect these little tidbits as I go along and, that would be interesting. And at his funeral, which was ages ago, he died in 98. They were, eulogizing him and talking about him. And at some point, they have this laundry list of things that he had done. And one was, Slim was a Teamster. And I just thought that was a really interesting way to kind of sum him up. And I thought it sounded really nice. And so I just kind of held it in queue for a long time. And it eventually worked its way out. More from this idea that, we've said it before, but we kind of feel like truck drivers as musicians. And so I identified with his profession.
But another song on here that I've heard you perform live, I heard you perform it at the TEDx Fayetteville, is Cowbird.
The Cowbird.
Tell me about that, Baird.
That was a song that was sitting on my friend's back porch in Kansas City, probably, it's been a while now, 7 or 8 years ago. And her 6-year-old son was a pretty good birder. And we were watching this cowbird. And I was playing guitar, and I just started playing that little bluesy thing. And I was having fun, and I turned to my friend Rita, and I said, this one's going to be a hit.
And that was well over 10 years ago, right?
Probably 7 or 8 years ago.
Calbert, Calbert, what do you do? Just doing things a Calbert do. Laying egg in a bluebird's nest, cause that bluebird loved my Calbert best. Raise him till he's gone to town, a bluebird colored Calbert brown. Ain't it hard? Ain't it hard? Ain't it hard? Was it hard being ugly brown, trying to live in a bluebird town? Well, you learn to lie, you learn to steal, the only way you find a meal. Ain't it hard? Ain't it hard? Ain't it hard?
And I didn't ever play it for years. I'd occasionally play it when I go to like the Kerrville Folk Festival, and you have to like, or you feel compelled to play all your own music. So once a year, I have to like dust off all my own songs that I never would play. And then Brian really loved that one, so he convinced me to record it.
Yeah, it was a must. I mean, somewhere in that early process where we had a couple of songs, we started talking about what other songs would go with that. And I felt like Cowbird was a perfect. It goes with Tulsa really well, and it really is kind of the book match for Tulsa in kind of a creepy way.
Yeah, the metaphoric social injustice context.
Yeah. You know? And you're talking about Tulsa 1921.
Yeah.
Which is a historical song.
Yeah, it's a historical tune about the town I grew up in, Tulsa. Most people know it, but most people don't know the story of the race riot of 1921. Or at least growing up there, most people didn't talk about it. It's a little bit more in the forefront in the last, 5 or 10 years.
The shot rings out in the middle of the night. There's a dead man on Tulsa's north side. But there ain't nobody naming names, except a newspaper man with an axe to grind. He says it's real simple, it goes like this. A black man gave a white woman a kiss. So let's rise up and let's burn him down, cause there ain't no room for that man in town.
We got a friend who listened to that song, and she has 2 kids and she's homeschooling right now, and she sent us a message and said, "Hey, thank you, we just used this as a wrap up of our talk today. I based
lessons.
An entire history lesson around this song." Yeah. And it's amazing that your songs can do that.
Do you have, I mean, that is a very concrete evidence that people do that. But people, I'm sure, walk away from, you playing at George's or in Iowa or Minnesota or wherever and take something away from that, right?
Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, that's the idea. You can kind of mask it over, or you can just say it like it is and hope that, they have a takeaway. And I think that's definitely a big part of that song and some of our other music,
That was a hard song for Brian to play for a while, just because it is an intense song, and he's from Tulsa, and I think it has, it has some meat to it for him. And when he started playing that song, I remember one of our first gigs when you played that, there was an old man who had lived through it. His mom was in the Tulsa race riot, and he came up and said, "You should not play a show and leave that song out. That is such an important song, and I think you need to play it at every single show."
Yeah.
And it just almost brought tears to my eyes because he was so emotional about it, and he definitely took something away from it.
Yeah, I still grapple with it. I mean, anytime we go back to Tulsa or even Oklahoma, I still grapple with that song and that subject. I think most people have come to accept it and understand it, but, I just fear there's that person out there that doesn't really see where we're coming from. So, I mean, next month we're playing a show. It's a concert series that's hosted at All Souls Unitarian Church in Tulsa. And the newspaper man in the song founded that church. Mm-hmm. And
you gotta talk about that?
I don't know. I'm feeling kind of weird about it.
You guys co-wrote St. Albans Day?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who comes to whom first with a collaboration?
Oh, Brian always comes first because he has all the great ideas. And that was one that I had started doing on piano because I do play piano a lot, and that's my main instrument when I'm at home, and that's why I sit down to tinkle on if I'm working on something. And that was one of the first ones that we really started hammering out on the piano, and Baird came over one night and we said, hey, you should try to play along with this on the
They recorded one. That one and Somewhere in the Middle before I'd ever even heard them.
Yeah.
And then they expected me to have a part for it immediately. So they've actually, since we recorded them, they've both kind of evolved a little bit.
As far as a process, St. Albans Day is probably the most interesting and atypical of the process songs on the album. So it started with a ukulele, actually.
Yeah,
Baird had built our daughter Bergen a ukulele, and we tend to like take it on the road just to kind of mess around with melodies and stuff. And so it's the only song I've ever started writing on the ukulele. And then I passed it to Bernice, and she really kind of made it concrete on the piano. And we were going to record it with piano, but it just something wasn't working exactly right, and then it morphed into the tune that it was. But we had recorded that, and then we brought Baird in and said, hey, listen to this. And we were hoping he would like it.
There's a phonograph spinning round, electric light in the arm comes down. Heart of boys, it's a high and a lonesome sound. But in the dark of night, the radio plays.
There are two covers on the CD, but I imagine most people who are hearing us have this conversation haven't heard the songs before. One is by Mike Brown, Gibsonville, and the other is Mackinac.
Mm-hmm.
Both Place sorts of songs.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess
I like Places.
Baird tends to, you know, do some really choice cover tunes, and even in our live show, Baird songs, it's about half and half his songs and then some cover tunes.
I like Gibsonville was written by Mike Brown, who I met coming through town probably 5 or 6 years ago, and he was in a van with his friend just traveling the country, and he gave me this EP that he'd been recording for 5 or 6 years, 7 songs, and there was over 50 different musicians on this collection of songs, like the Dirty Dozen Brass Band and all kinds of people. But I loved it, and that song, like Gibsonville, is not necessarily a specific place. It's just a metaphor for nostalgia in your life, for places you might miss or things that bring back memories.
Mackinac.
Mackinac
is real.
That song also is not. Actually, the actual song title, I think, is Farm in New Hampshire.
It is,
New Hampshire. But Mackinac is just a line in the song, and we always called it that. So Robert's going to have to, you know, be okay with that.
That's by Robert Sarazen Blake, And that's another tune that Baird brought to the band ages ago, and just every once in a while we would play it, and then we eventually said, you know, this seems to fit in. And it fit in thematically on the album. And it seemed to be the right choice and the right fit. And we don't have a lot of love songs. and so it was Baird's kind of love song contribution.
Can I come and visit this summer, way up on that farm in New Hampshire? I won't stay long, I'll stay out of your way. Just wanna see your smile on the green summer days there, a river. We could go swimming, take off our clothes, have a new beginning. Watch the dirt fall from our fingers and toes. Lay out on the flat river stones and the sun's beams through these flowers.
Well, finally, Rag & Bone is the title
single
track.
That's the single we put out.
And Rag & Bone refers to?
It comes from two places for me. I lived in England, and I was always fascinated that they call their flea markets rag and bone shops. And I also fascinated and interested in William Butler Yeats, and he has this poem where he talks, he's at the end of his life, and he says, you know, my time is done. He's in a dry spell. He says, for 6 weeks I've tried to write a poem. And he says, I've climbed my ladder, and I must now start where all ladders begin, in the foul rag and bone shop of the heart. And so I was really intrigued by that, and I started digging in to understand, what is this rag and bone? And it comes from the rag and bone pickers, which I guess kind of had, you know, their advent, you know, probably all over the world, but definitely associated with Victorian London. And these guys that would, you know, be kind of outside of society, but their entire job was to seek out discards, rags, bones, different mm-hmm. things. And then they would shop those discards around to the housemaids.
Like the lowliest of tinkers.
Yeah, they're like kind of lowly tinkers, you know. So I identified with that concept, and Yeats was kind of getting at this idea that, you know, the heart is a rag and bone shop where you collect things.
There's a need to talk about what time keeps bottled up. We paid a hard price to bail us out this time. Modern shackles in an auction block. Halos burn and the devil squawks. Hear the box and the cart as it rattles down the line. I love you like the evening gloss. Rain laid on a mountaintop. Let my heart shudder just to listen to the sound. Peddler peddling in a backroom scene. Your picture glowing just like kerosene. If you're the train, then I'm the orphan.
That became the theme for the album. And then after we put it together and it was all done, we realized it was also, every song was almost, the theme was outside looking in. So you're kind of outside of something, looking onto the inside, trying to imagine yourself there, or trying to figure out why you're not on the inside, and so on and forth. And so that seemed to fit really well with the Rag and Bone theme too.
Anyway, back to the CD release. You know, we don't play in Fayetteville that often. I mean, we pick and choose when we're going to play, and we're sort of picky about it because we want to make it count when we're here playing, and because we travel quite a bit and we're out on the road playing. When we come home, we want it to, you know, want it to be something that's going to be good.
Bernice, Baird, and Brian, members of Three Penny Acre, talking about their brand new CD, which is titled Rag and Bone, the CD release party that Bernice was just talking about, Sunday night at George's Majestic Lounge on Dixon Street. You can hear the new CD, all 11-track stream, at KUAF.com. Our first listen. Mm-hmm. Also remind you that Three Penny Acre will be part of the Trail Mix that takes place as part of Artisphere on Saturday, May 4th.
Which is working in conjunction with Spring Fest, which is returning.
That's right. That Trail Mix is both Fayetteville and Bentonville. And then on Tuesday, May 7th, Penny Acre and Gregory Allen Isakoff mm-hmm. will be at Cooper Chapel in Bella Vista.
Yes, it's part of Artisphere as well, where they have their, what do you call it, chamber concert series, I believe. They try to find smaller venues for artists to perform in.
Right, so you'll be able to see them up there.